Last night, there was a Northfield School Board meeting, and joining us now in our studios is Superintendent of Schools, Dr. Matt Hillman. Good morning, Matt.
Good morning, Jeff. Happy Tuesday morning to you in beautiful downtown Northfield, Minnesota.
Well, thank you. Appreciate that. We have a lot to talk about from last night. You had a busy school board meeting.
We did, yes.
Mm-hmm. Where would you like to start? You want to start off with the District Youth Council?
Yes. The District Youth Council gave their one of their annual presentations last night. And for people who aren't aware, within the community, we have something that's called the Youth on Boards program that is really administrated by the Northfield Healthy Community Initiative. And, you know, we have scores of kids, you know, across dozens of boards and commissions across the community, really helping amplify and lift up student voice. Kids are really smart. They come at problems and solve problems from a different angle than many others do. And our District Youth Council is a group of students, high school students, who really try to create a conduit for discussion and dialogue between students and the administration and the school board. They tackle challenging problems. They help make sure that students are aware of various things that are happening in the system. For example, this past year, they ran two highly successful forums. One was a school board candidate forum back in the fall. And then recently, they really motivated students when we were in our budget reduction process. And we had several hundred students who came to a district budget reduction forum sponsored by the District Youth Council. And I think when you see these young leaders, you know, who are showing their skills, we have a lot to be hopeful for with the future. So last night, District Youth Council co-chairs Connor Percy and Grace Ryden presented their work from this year. They looked forward to next year. We also honored the seniors who are graduating from the District Youth Council, and a board chair, Claudia Gonzalez-George, recognized them, gave them a certificate, and thanked them for their service. So I think it's always good when a community listens and empowers its youth, and that's just exactly what we do here in Northfield. So great job by our District Youth Council, and really appreciate their leadership.
Yeah, good stuff. And boy, the seniors are graduating. We're just
about a month out.
About a month out, yeah. Superintendent Hillman is with us. Let's talk about the general fund budget. Of course, that's something you're going to have to pass. And was it passed this time, or do you have next?
So we have a very deliberate budget process, and we're a little bit opposite of the city. I heard your interview with City Administrator Martig last week, and you know they're getting started on their budget process, and we're bringing ours to conclusion. A school district budget runs from July 1 to June 30th each year. That's our fiscal year. And so, as you know, we've been talking about budget for several months. We have several different budget presentations that culminate with the general fund budget. It was not approved last night. We don't ever ask the board to approve that kind of thing at the same meeting. So it was the presentation. They'll be asked to adopt all the budgets that have been presented over the last few meetings at their next meeting. So the general fund is the largest and the most flexible of all of our funds. Of course, school finance is highly regulated in Minnesota, but the general fund is really the core engine of the school district's finances. And so this is the fund that our budget reduction process was really intended to make sure we could stabilize and keep fiscally healthy. And the board has a goal of keeping 14% of its general fund expenditures, very specific expenditures, in reserve. Our projections for the general fund budget do include a one-year stabilization in enrollment. We have this one-year blip over in our declining enrollment projections where we stay roughly the same, and that's next year, and that's very helpful in the 23-24 budget that Director of Finance Val Murdestorf presented last night. So good to have 1 year stable, and we're hopeful maybe things turn around, you know, after that. We get some housing opened up. There's some other opportunities for people to move here, et cetera. But for next year, stabilized, and then we're projecting it to continue to decline after that. We are projecting to end the 23-24 year above our fund balance goal with around 15% of our expenditures in reserve. That's anticipating revenues of around $60.9 million and expenditures about $59.7 million. This is the first year since 2019-20. So if you think about it, we're bookending the pandemic, right? 2019-20 was a year, of course, impacted by the pandemic, but just before really a lot of the impacts happened financially. And then this is really the first full year out of that. So this is the first year since 2019-20 that we're not proposing a deficit budget for next year. So this is a good place to be. We are watching legislative impact. We are including a higher than normal amount of funds from the state on the basic formula. We've assumed 4%. That's the smallest amount that currently is in consideration for next year by the legislature. But we're also considering some of the new mandates that, while many worthy proposals are before the legislature, not even saying we disagree with them, there just is going to be some financial impact with some of those proposals, some that are just not funded, and we're going to have to pick up with the general fund, some that have some funding but not enough. And so, again, those have not been passed yet, so we're not able to take those into account as part of this budget. We always do a revised budget in December, so we are pleased with where we're at right now, but we also just have to acknowledge that it was a tremendous amount of hard work and pain. Because we've gone through some very painful budget reductions over the last couple of years that have impacted our community, our students, our families, and our staff. So we want to acknowledge that getting and maintaining our financial stability has come at a cost to our district, and it's because of decades of chronic underfunding by the state legislature, which we're hopeful will turn around this session, and the declining enrollment that we've been experiencing, you know, due to lack of housing and just lower birth rates. So while we are pleased with the financial trajectory moving forward, we do want to acknowledge the human toll that it has taken in our system and in our community.
You know, speaking of those budget cuts, we had a call from one of our listeners, and we appreciate that.
I'm thrilled that people are listening. This is great.
From the agriculture community. Yeah. And I wanted to ask about the FFA, the future of the FFA programs. We were talking just briefly before we went on the air about this, and it's going to have a different look, but overall, the news seems to be pretty positive. You're not cutting it, you're adding it.
Yeah, and I think that this is an example. You know, sometimes people will say, well, when the school district makes decisions, the decisions are already made, and you know, you just don't take very much input. And of course, Jeff, you and so many listeners know that the opposite is true. We take a tremendous amount of input. We're really good at listening. We aren't always able to do what people would like us to do for a variety of different reasons. But the ag program is a great example of how initially a very difficult conversation, the proposal to eliminate the agricultural partnership that we've had with Randolph Schools for a number of years. This was in 2022 when we proposed that. We heard loud and clear from the ag community here that this was not something that they are ready to sunset. That has created a year's worth of conversation, not just about ag, but about career technical education in general. And actually, it's going to be the opposite. So yes, while we are going to be sunsetting our partnership with Randolph, it's not because of a budget reduction. It's actually because of the fact that we're bringing agriculture back to Northfield High School. So next year, we're planning to offer a couple of courses in a method where we are going to ramp up to have more and potentially full-time courses available over the next couple of years. It has been, as we've really looked at career technical education, it's very hard to hire what many people who are listening would consider to be shop teachers. In fact, there are no colleges in Minnesota, as ridiculous as this sounds, there are no colleges in Minnesota right now that have a formal program that lead to licensure in technology education, which many people would consider shop. You can get the licensure requirements done in a couple of Wisconsin schools, and my understanding is that St. Cloud State will put together a specialized program for you. There are several colleges in Minnesota that offer ag ed licensure. And so as we move ahead, there's a lot of overlap between tech ed and agriculture. So, for example, a tech ed course might be something like small engines, and in the ag world, it would be ag mechanics, right? Very similar problem-solving strategies. So last night, the board did approve the hiring of a technology education teacher for next year who has an agriculture license. And so we are beginning the process of bringing ag back to Northfield High School. We will still, of course, work with the Randolph FFA in terms of their outreach program and our students. My understanding is they'll still be able to participate through in the FFA and ag are different, right? We could see a point where we bring our own FFA chapter back, which is something Northfield hasn't had in decades, but that's decisions to be made down the line. We really look at modern ag education as a great connector for kids who might be college-bound in science. You think about the genetics of ag, and then, of course, with the traditional, you know, more career tech ed pathways in ag, really agriculture addresses the needs of a variety of difference in students in Northfield. So this is a great example about how a very difficult conversation that started as a result of budget reductions is turning into something that's very positive for the district. So I think we always need to keep that in mind when we're discussing hard issues, is that you know, we do listen, we do work with the community, and and sometimes we're able to really make great gains like this one, and other times there's just little that you can do because of the circumstances. But this is, I think, a really good feel-good story about the trajectory of career technical education at Northfield High School.
It seems to be somewhat ironic that, you know, from what I've heard in recent years, there has been a lot of clamor from businesses and industries that they need technically trained people, not necessarily with a college degree, but just trained in some of the technical, whether it's working with machinery or computers or, you know, some type of manufacturing. There is a big market for that, and we don't have teachers to teach our young people.
Well, I think it's important to think about, you know, as a public entity, you know, we have a very solid salary and benefit package, but public service pays less. There's just no two ways around it. And when you're in a market economy and when business is booming in some of these technical areas and our students hear that, it's no wonder that students go directly into those trades as opposed to considering teaching, mm-hmm. right? And so there's a financial incentive, and I think our students have been listening, right? Our students have been listening about those technical careers that are lucrative and provide a very good living and are challenging and interesting in so many different ways. And I think that they've heard that, and they look at both and they think, well, I could teach, which is a really, I mean, obviously, you know how I feel about teaching. I've said this, you know, but in this case, I think we're a victim of our own success of convincing kids that this career technical education pathway directly into it. Now, I'm very hopeful with some of the, and we're watching the legislature on these changes around tiered licensure, but what we've really seen is we really are interested in people who have been in the trades for a while, who want to go back and get their teaching license, and maybe they're tired of that, you know, the rat race of the market economy that it can be from time to time, and want to have an impact on students of the future. So if you're a tradesperson who's listening and you've got a two-year degree and you have some interest in thinking about that, we'd be happy to talk with you about the pathways that you could get into teaching. We may not have a position here, but we certainly want people to do good things for kids, whether it's here in Northfield or surrounding districts. And I think those mid-career change teachers in this particular field is really what the best avenue moving forward is for us.
Good to hear. Good to hear. Once again, Superintendent of Schools, Dr. Matt Hillman, is with us. You have iPads. You've been using the iPads for a number of years.
Since 2013, yes.
Oh, man, 10 years. Yeah, holy cow. You have a new lease for those yet, or are you working on that?
So we're working. I went back, and I think this is our fourth, or I think it's our fourth lease, Jeff, of one-to-one technology devices. And we are, Director of Technology Services, Nate Knutson, made this presentation last night. Nate has worked for the district since 2004. He gave a really interesting overview of the changes in technology that he has seen over almost 20 years. He's held nearly every tech position in the district and just did a great job last night presenting our next lease. Just to be really clear, things like technology come from our operating capital budget, which is separate from the general fund. So the operating capital budget pays for stuff. It pays for equipment. It pays for books. It pays for repair. It can pay for a narrow group of salaries. For example, our technology services staff members are able to be coded to there, but very little operational dollars to pay salary and benefits can come from the operating capital budget. So when people hear about us going out to lease iPads and they think, wait a minute, you just cut a bunch of money from the budget, they are two separate budgets. This is an example of the high regulation of Minnesota school finance. So considering a number of things, including the declining enrollment, we're going to lease less iPads this time around than we did before. Nate is recommending to stay with to use the 9th generation iPad as opposed to the 10th generation iPad. Cost savings, good stewardship, a handful of other features that we just still need from the 9th generation iPad. We know that Apple's devices have always been able to maintain their utilization all the way through the 4-year leases that we've done. And what we do is we lease new equipment. We're going to lease this new equipment if the board approves it at the next meeting this summer. We'll do the swap out of the old 6th generation iPads with these iPads next fall. And then we sell the previous generation and we sell it as one a lot. We get a bid for it. The last time we got around $312,000. And we turn right around and use that to help pay for the first year of our new lease. So looking at leasing around 4,000 iPads, the associated cases, leasing or including the Logitech Crayon, which is an Apple Pencil-like device at a lower cost and effective. And we know a lot of middle school and high school students use that. So we're leasing, getting those just for the middle school and high school students. The lease cost will be around $412,000, $413,000 a year over the next 4 years. Again, that money was approved as part of the operating capital budget that the board did approve in February. So we always look at different devices, Jeff, as well. And when we look at comparable devices and we look at the infrastructure that we have, we know that the iPad is the best device for us at this time.
Does anyone in the school district, do you still use books? Are they
absolutely
seen on campus?
I think that, absolutely. I think that what we've seen over time is that, you know, we're seeing things that come to what is the right mix of technology and traditional-based instruction. And so we're seeing some real success with students who are using some of our online reading programs that are on their iPad, younger students. We see students who are really incredibly organized and are doing a lot of productivity at the secondary level with their devices. Teachers are able to distribute materials very quickly and efficiently to students. But we still use a lot of books. Books are not going to go away, Jeff. And it's just that what's the right mix to do good things for kids.
All right. Superintendent Matt Hillman, thank you for joining us. We certainly appreciate it. We're out of time. We'll let you get moving on, but we'll talk to you again in a couple of weeks.
And Jeff, thanks so much for your service to the community. Appreciate you keeping everybody informed.
Superintendent of Schools, Dr. Matt Hillman. You're listening to 95.1 FM and AM 1080 KYMN Northfield.